Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 14-9 loss to the Chicago Bears. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
Nick made a lot of plays yesterday, a number of them, when he broke the pocket and looking for a big play instead of looking to run. That's one of the reasons he hit Kittle on a big one going across the field. That's the one when he hit Kittle in the end zone, which I definitely think should have been a PI, but it gave us a chance for a touchdown. And then he got out at the end and he broke, and you know, he was not really thinking about running. He has throwing in his mind, and he sees someone down the field. Obviously, he made the wrong decision, and he knew that before having to watch the tape. He knew that by the time he got to the sideline. So you learn from it, and hopefully next time if he's in that situation, he'll run it. But also, if Keese is a little bit more open and he throws it and Keese catches that ball and we win the game, I know we're all going to be pretty happy with him too. So you got to take some of the good with the bad, and he knows that he missed that. We all know he missed it, and hopefully next time in that situation, he'll make the right decision.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan, and it seems like, Steve, we've been talking about that all year. You take some of the good with the bad with some of the young players, and that's certainly the case with Nick Mullins. You know, he's had a pretty decent season filling in here for Jimmy Garoppolo, but when the key play happened right there, experience, it seems to me, really came into play. What'd you think of that play?
No question. And I mean, simply put, by Kyle, very well put, I guess, not simply, very well put. One of those ones, he came out thinking that he had this, you know, when he flushes the pocket, thinks he has them, and he kind of does, actually, from I was sitting up a little bit higher, so in my mind, he did, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, no, run, and then right when he released it. I would be with Kyle on all of it. I mean, experience, learn from it, move on. Like I said at the end, hey, if he makes a throw and it's caught and the guy scores a touchdown, we'd be ecstatic.
Right.
So, experience. And, he played well again. Mullins, that is. They got to score touchdowns in the red zone. I mean, I think that's the two biggest things. They didn't score a touchdown. They're 0-for-3 in the red zone. And I didn't think they ran the ball well enough to win.
No, I mean, yeah, the red zone is definitely a major problem. It's kind of been that way now for a few years. And also, Steve, I thought another issue as far as experience was clock management. And that's the quarterback. You know, he has to really do that. I mean, that's his responsibility. At the end of the second quarter, he could have spiked the ball way sooner. Instead, time was running down. They end up settling for a field goal. They could have run another play there.
Yeah. And they did not have a timeout, correct?
They didn't have a timeout, so he had to spike it.
Okay.
And Mullins was kind of running around.
I'm trying to remember it exactly. Yeah. They should have gone right to the ball and spiked it. They lost maybe 5 more seconds, I would say.
And that's enough to maybe run a play, right?
Play. I mean, quick. Exactly. That's a play. Yeah. Especially a quick throw that, you know, can be targeted toward the sideline.
It's the little things that kill you.
Yeah, and that's young people, not just the quarterback, but it hadn't been discussed. I'm saying obvious because there was a lineman or two that started to run off. And I forget what it must have been, second down or was it third down? And they still had one more down.
And the linemen were running off the field.
But in my mind, originally, I don't remember the down, so that's why I'm asking. In my mind, there was enough. Had it been fourth down, there was 19 seconds when the play ended. So there was enough time to run the field goal team on and kick it, had it been fourth down, but it wasn't. It was. I'm pretty sure it was third down. So, yes, clock it there because you, well, there's two schools of thought there. One, clock it and kick the field goal. But the other school would be, you know, you if it's they just run that play on second down, I'm pretty sure it was going to be third. There's enough time. No, there wouldn't have been. Now you have to clock it either way. I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I think you had to clock it.
You'd have to clock it either way and then decide, okay, do I take a chance and make a throw to the sideline that's either caught and goes out of bounds or is incomplete out of bounds and stops the clock again. I can get the field goal team on.
Or the end zone. Yeah, they were close
enough. Really,
yeah.
It didn't really – or take a shot at the end zone, yeah. At that point, I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking they're kicking the field goal anyway, so I didn't think it was that critical, honestly. If you, you know, I guess my point would have been, had it been the end of the game and you needed a touchdown,
right?
Then you have enough. You have two plays left, and I would say you don't clock it. You've got enough time to run two plays because you would waste the play by clocking it.
Yeah, you waste it down. Yeah.
It takes you 10 seconds approximately to unpile from the end of one play to getting the ball to getting the clock stopped. Okay?
Yeah.
So you would be better off, in my mind, just going to the ball had it been the end of the game and you needed a touchdown. Go to the ball, run a play, and still had enough time to run a fourth down play.
If you needed a touchdown, right?
If you needed it, exactly.
I felt like they could have had one
play
there.
Yeah, they
could
have. There could have been 24, 25 seconds.
Yeah, instead, I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of confusion they were going to do.
Actually, though, it couldn't have been because I do specifically remember looking at the clock when the play ended, and it, like I said, in my mind, there were 19 seconds, and that's kind of the minimum to run the field goal team, get the offense off, run the field goal team on, and get it off in those 19 seconds.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm underestimating how much time it takes to get a field goal team on there.
had it been, like I said, had it been fourth down, then that's the time they would have needed, 19 seconds.
Right.
So,
just a little
anyway,
thing.
Yeah, I didn't think that was all that critical, but I do remember there was a little bit of chaos. Like I said, there were a couple linemen that started to run off, and then Mullins, you know, kind of called them back, and then they got they spiked it.
Yeah, a little bit of chaos there.
Exactly.
And they had, exactly. I mean, there was another sequence late in the third quarter where they had a delay game, and then there was a pass into the ground. And now that one looks bad, but when you look at the replay, you see Khalil Mack, who, by the way, I mean, one player makes such a difference for a team the way he plays for the Bears. And you could see him read the play and then back up, and then all of a sudden you really can't complete that little screen to George Kittle. So it just doesn't look good. I mean, it's kind
of a
bad
sequence. He sniffed it out pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're running that screenplay to that side thinking that, you know, he's going full bore on the rush. and he's not going to back off, and he makes a nice play on it.
Yeah, he just read it. It was really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to what Kyle Shanahan was saying about Mullins, there was a play, and one of the ones that he was talking about, where he finds Kittle throwing to his left. He kind of rolls to the right. You know, he maybe could have run there too, but he took a chance. You know, he finds Kittle, gets a big gain out of that.
Right.
You know, so sometimes it's true. Like, you take those chances, and you can make a big play as opposed to just running the ball.
Right, right. I can't. I'm with Kyle there. I can't fault him at the end. I can kind of see what he saw in that. For he was open. He was behind the defender, and you're thinking, I just, you know, throw it out there. It's fourth down. But I'm sure as soon as he let it go out of his hand, he was like, shit. I could, and he probably, honestly, he could have run for 20 yards.
Yeah, and gotten out of bounds.
There was no one else out there.
Plenty of room for him to do that. Another thing, I mean, and this just kind of goes to being a quarterback in the NFL, how you have to have pinpoint passes, and this one could have gone either way. I mean, you could blame him or you could blame Marquise Goodwin, but the interception that he threw, it was right off his fingertips, led him a little bit too far. You know, that's a tough one.
But he's got to make that catch.
Yeah, he had his hands on it.
I mean, it's just, yeah. It's probably 8 inches in front of where it needed to be, like, for it to be perfect. But it was still within arm's length,
right?
You know, and he's got to make that. He's just got to make it. I mean, he gave it to him. You know, and the Bears still. You talk about a bonehead play. I mean, okay, they throw the ball, they get the first down. Take it, go down, dude. Game's over.
Right.
You know, instead he gets the ball punched out. We get the ball back with whatever it was, just a little less than 2 minutes.
Right. Sets the 49ers up to come back.
Yeah, I mean, they were lucky. I mean, that's a team that's 11-4 as opposed to 4-11. That's, you know. They're able to overcome that, and I don't think we are yet. Even though, again, our defense played really well, and offense, we just I didn't think we ran the ball well enough to win.
Yeah, once Breida went out, then that makes it more difficult because he's really the key, I think, to the running game. The average yards per rush, one of the best in the NFL, and he only ended up with 4 carries for 20 yards, and his ankle is bothering him. He's not going to play in the next game against the Rams.
Oh, is that what they're saying now?
Yeah, he's out.
Now how about? I mean, Pettis goes out too, so that hurts because he's good, and then people need to pay attention to him.
Yeah, he had a sprained medial collateral ligament, so he's done, and that's a shame because he was definitely growing as a receiver.
He really was, and he was getting valuable experience for next year. I mean, because all three of those guys, Bourne, again, I've been talking about him all season. He's going to be the same. You know, getting valuable experience. I see those three guys being on the field, you know, 90% of the time next year.
Yeah, Kittle, Bourne.
Well, our four guys. Okay, Kittle, Pettis. Bourne, Pettis, and Goodwin.
Goodwin, yeah.
I mean, Goodwin's grown. You know, I think he's developed into being a good receiver, not just a vertical threat.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a better possession receiver now.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, I mean, if you had to put your starting lineup together for next year right now, I would think it would be those four guys. You know, along with, obviously, hopefully you'll have Jimmy G back in there, and you'll have Jet McKinnon in there, hopefully.
Yeah, McKinnon, you know, and Breida could be a pretty good combination, right?
Yeah, and Wilson, I think, has been a nice acquisition, you know, he runs hard.
I liked Mostert too, and then he got hurt.
Mostert again. He had a really nice year, and he's a you know, he's a special teams guru too. So, yeah, it's my sense, like I said, my sense after the game was didn't run the ball well enough to win. Defense played really well again. I mean, you hold the Bears to 14 points. You hold any team to 14 points, you're going to win. You expect to win 80% of the games.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You know, offense got to score, I don't know what Marty always used to say, 21 or 23. I think it was 23 points. You score 23 points, defense wins the game.
Yeah, you just got to score a couple touchdowns when you get in the red zone. I mean, you just have to
exactly.
Do it.
Exactly. I added up before you called me. I went through every game and added up their. See if I remember correctly now. Yeah, it was 18 for. No, it was more than that. 20. We've had 43 red zone appearances.
Okay.
And we've scored. Yeah, I think it was 18.
Oh man.
So.
Yeah, that's a bad ratio.
Not even 50%. And I would say, I'm sure somebody's got an official stat on what you need to have, but I would say you need to be 2 for 3.
In the 67%.
I agree
with that.
To be good.
Yeah, between that and turnover differential, which wins a lot of games, those are the major problems.
I haven't even looked at that, but I'm sure we're negative. I know we're negative.
Oh yeah, big time.
Way
I
negative.
Mean, they had 2 takeaways in this game, but they only have 7 on the year. That's going to be an NFL record if they don't get 4 more in the next game. They need to get to 11 to tie the lowest
ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, that's a major problem. Yeah, you got to punch balls out like we saw in that one play.
No, that's amazing. I mean, field possession. Schottenheimer used to talk all the time about field possession. Basically, you know, plus and minus of where you started, where they started, back and forth. He would do the whole game, and then turnover ratio. He didn't talk too much about red zone, but I mean, that's obvious. You know. 7's more than 3.
Yeah, exactly. You can't settle for field goals. Yeah,
I mean, and I would think two out of every 3 you need to score a touchdown. You know, that's 24 points. I mean, or 17 points. You know, you get a third one somewhere on special teams or defense, and you know you're scoring 24 points a game. You're winning probably 75% of the games.
49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Let's get back to the quarterback position, and let's hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say about Nick Mullins and just quarterback success.
I don't think people understand how hard it is to be successful in the NFL as a quarterback, and you can be extremely good at quarterback, and you can still have a very bad year. I mean, it's not just on the quarterback. You have to have a good scheme. You got to have receivers. You got to have protections. You got to have a running game. You hope you're not going against a bunch of defenses that look like the one we went against yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into playing quarterback, and I think as always, because of the position, you're gonna, when you do well, especially early in your career, everyone's going to hype you up a ton, and a lot of it's going to be warranted, but also a lot of it's going to be a little over the top. And then when you don't do that well, a little bit of it's going to be warranted, and also a lot of people are going to go over the top on you because they went over the top the other way. So you got to always look into a guy. That's why I try not to ever look too much into stats. You got to be able to watch the tape and watch every play and understand what the quarterback's being asked to do. And it's a very tough position to play, and a lot rides on it with all the other guys.
All right, so Kyle Shanahan, you know, laying it out there, and I like what he was saying about Mullins, because the minute you play well and you have some good stats, there's a lot of hype, and then if you don't, if something happens and you lose the game, then all of a sudden everybody's knocking you. It's tough to deal with.
I was the whole time Kyle was talking, I'm thinking to myself, amen. He's got it.
Finally, a coach understands this.
You know, he's been around the game for a long time, and he knows. I mean, it was really well said by him. All of it. I mean, from the fact of, you know, what are you being asked to do? What's your, you know, what is everybody? How good is everybody around you? To, you know, being too high and being praised too much and also taking too much blame. Man, I think Nick Mullins has done a terrific job. There's no question. Nobody expected that. He's obviously prepared himself well. He's fit well into the scheme. You know, Kyle's called plays that, you know, benefit him. Just the whole thing. I mean, Kyle's done a really good job with him as well. I thought on Sunday the Bears did a good job of, I'm going back to something I've talked about the whole time. Bears did a good job of knocking down passes on them. They probably knocked down a half a dozen of them. And part of that, again, is gets stuck at the top of your drop, and they're those interior guys may not get to you, but now all of a sudden they get stymied and they stand there and jump up. You know, whereas get up in the pocket, get into the throwing lanes, or get into the running lanes, which are the same thing. That doesn't happen as much. I thought they did a really good job. I mean, offensive line did a good job of protecting, but those guys just jumped up. Like I said, I don't know how many were batted down, but I can recall four or five, you know, off the top of my head.
Definitely, yeah, and that's what makes the Bears' defense so good.
Yeah.
You know what I really like about this team, Steve, the 49ers, even though it's been a tough season as far as wins and losses, they own it when they make mistakes. I mean, Mullins said that, you know, he should have run on that last play, and it was the heat of battle, it was a split-second decision, but he said, I should have run it. And George Kittle also, on the pass that he didn't catch in the end zone, he said, you know, that he had a chance, Nick gave him a chance, said the defender was right there, and I know Kyle Shanahan thought should have been a penalty, but Kittle said, it's the NFL. You're supposed to make plays. You're supposed to make that. I love that he said that.
Yeah. And he took the hit. He had it. And it was a good play by the pass interference on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I didn't necessarily think so. I do remember. I happened to be standing kind of in that corner, not down on the field in that corner, but up above in that corner when it happened. I didn't think pass interference at all. Actually, in my mind, it was whoever the defensive back was, I thought made a really good play. Because Breida had it. I mean, Kittle had it, and then the defender knocked it out.
Exactly.
I thought it was a nice play by the defense.
Yeah, so you can't really call it a penalty there. But you know what? Every week we do talk about officiating. And I kind of feel like I need a sponsor for this next year. Like, you know, the weekly officiating blitz or whatever. I mean, in this game, you had to look at, okay, here's the deal. Marcel Harris, he's a rookie. He has a late hit on Trubisky. And I thought, you know, that's clearly a foul. And I understand Trubisky being upset and his teammates because it looks like, oh, that might be dirty. But you see a young player like that running really hard, and he's going full speed, really hard to stop. He wasn't trying to hit. It didn't look to me like he was trying to hit Trubisky in the head. I don't know.
He raked him, I thought. I mean, it was definitely a penalty.
Definitely a penalty.
Question.
Right. But did he intend on doing that initially? I don't know. Yeah.
That part's hard. The ensuing ruckus. they probably did the right thing. I mean, those guys came in flailing, and anybody that, you know, comes off the bench is going to get thrown out. Or
if you throw a punch, like Richard Sherman, he got ejected.
I mean, you have to do that, and I don't know what it cost them, but it probably cost them $25,000, is my guess. As I said to somebody in the box that I was standing in, I said, "Oh, the the donation money from the NFL to all the charities just got big, just got much bigger.
But here's the thing, Steve, about that really bothered me, and this is what I think the NFL needs to change if it doesn't want to lose viewers. If you're watching that, the decision took forever.
Ever.
Yeah, forever.
Even standing at the game. I mean, there's how much, 2 minutes, two plus, and it took 10 minutes?
It took so long.
I don't know what that
was. There were a lot of reviews in this game that took a while, and this was really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, just throw some people out of the game and move on. It's just,
Yeah. And again, we talked about this maybe last week. I know we've talked about it a few times. There's the replays there's so many replays now, so many angles that somebody in New York ought to be, or somebody up in the press box, not New York, forgive me for saying that, in the press box, another official ought to be able to just whisper in the referee's ear, right away, okay, catch confirmed, no, it was a drop, or, whatever.
Right.
They do it for guys who they think are concussed or have taken a hard hit. I mean, there's somebody in the press box
right away
watching the game who says, get number 28 out of the game. He looked like he was, he looked like he was out for a second on that one.
So do that with penalties, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why not. One last thing here. A reason why I think the Bears could go far in the playoffs, although the competition is stiff when you have the Saints and the Rams, who the 49ers play next week, I think that they have a quarterback who doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's young, but, 25 of 29?
Yeah.
Pretty good. And, and they've got a defense that definitely is going to do some damage in the playoffs. What do you think?
I would agree. And somebody asked me this morning at workout, like, who do you think will get in the Super Bowl from the NFC? And I said, I think the Rams or Chicago, because they both have really good defenses.
Exactly.
And Chicago can easily do it. I mean, Trubisky, if he doesn't have to do anything spectacular, just get the ball to the open guy, run the ball, and let the defense play.
Yeah.
They're good. They're good. I mean, the unfortunate part for the Bears, I guess technically they would host the first round, right? Because they would be
the wild card they would host. Yeah.
Oh no, I guess they would win the they would oh they would host the wild card game. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Because they got the Rams and the Saints ahead of
them. So they get the home field advantage for one, but then they'll have to go to either New Orleans or L.A.
Yeah, for the next game, exactly. If that holds up, I think still they have a chance if the Rams lose to the Niners and the Bears win.
Okay, is that what it is?
Yeah,
and
how about
New Orleans? They're the second seed because they lost last week.
They're number one seed. Yeah, they're number one.
And you know what? That gives New Orleans an advantage playing indoors.
That's what makes it interesting.
That totally makes it interesting. If they had to go to Chicago or even have to go to L.A., just even though the elements would be good in L.A., it's just different. I mean, it's a dome team. They're built for domes. They're built for speed, and it's different outdoors.
And I'll tell you another thing about the Bears that you have to like, I guess, if you like a risk taker, Matt Nagy going for it. With 4 minutes to go, fourth and one, around his own 35, up by 5 points, he goes for it. They get it. But if you don't get that, I thought he would just punt it, figuring the 49ers aren't going to score a touchdown anyway. Make them score a touchdown. They can't tie it with a field goal. And just punt it, put the 49ers back. He goes for it. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I kind of liked it. I have
he got
to admit,
it.
I kind of liked the move. But you don't get it. You're only up by five. There'll be some head scratching going on over that one if you didn't get it. But I mean, I think they're good enough that they know they can.
So the very last thing here, Niners final game. It's in LA against the Rams. And like I said, I like some of the comments from 49ers players. I also like how hard they've played, even though they've been out of it. And that's a credit to the coaching staff, too. And I think Robert Saleh is, looks like he's saved his job by the way the defense is playing down the stretch. What do you think?
I would agree. I think he's done a nice job with them. The defense, defense has played really well the last 3 weeks. I mean, well enough to win three games. They've won two, and again played well enough this past Sunday to win the game. I mean, score three times in the red zone and you win 21-14. I think the biggest thing is I'd love to see now. You know, I guess I don't know what happens with Sherman being thrown out. I guess he can play again next week.
I think he will be able to, yeah.
But I also think it would be nice to see and give some more young guys another chance or more opportunity to play on this coming Sunday against the Rams. I mean, that's just more plays that are going to help going forward for next year.
Yeah, and they've got some young guys in there that have been getting really good experience. I mentioned Harris, but, you know, they've got more, Tavares, more DJ Reed.
We talked about him last week. He made a couple nice plays in the overtime.
DJ Reed is another guy, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, that's all those things are good going forward.
All right, Steve. Well, hey, I hope you had a Merry Christmas. The Warriors lost to the Lakers, notwithstanding. I know you went to that game. But other than that,
not their best night shooting.
But hope you enjoyed the holiday, and we'll be talking to you next week after the Week 17 game and getting into 2019.
Oh boy, pretty scary thought. I'm sure the Niners, you know, everybody will be ready to move on to 2019 and have a bunch more healthy guys.
Absolutely. We'll talk about it more next week for sure. Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. We'll catch up again with him next week as the 49ers finish the season in L.A. against the Rams. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.